Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. On this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss the implications of the recent shift towards drag-and-drop e-commerce websites. Up until now, the majority of e-commerce websites have been built by tech-savvy developers who are fluent in or familiar with some coding language. This expertise in coding provided something of a barrier to entry in the field. But recently, a new trend toward no-code or drag-and-drop e-commerce sites has grown rapidly. Some e-commerce platforms have provided templates for building websites that require no prior coding knowledge whatsoever. Today, we examine the implications of this trend and what it could mean for your store and your career as a store builder. On this episode, you'll hear how to define drag-and-drop e-commerce, the importance of these websites, how drag-and-drop sites function, the limitations of drag-and-drop, and how this might affect the future of e-commerce. If you're interested in how drag-and-drop sites could impact your work as a store builder, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. Chris, it's great to see you again. Welcome back.
Good to see you, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. We're talking about drag and drop e-commerce tools today. Interesting topic. Just to start off, what are we talking about when we're talking about drag and drop e-commerce?
So when we think about the long history of e-commerce and how people have put together, how store builders have put together e-commerce stores, a majority of it has been technologists who write code. And whether you were writing code that was HTML and CSS, or you were writing code that was JavaScript, or you were running the specific templating language of a specific platform, you had to know code. And over the last several years, there have been this movement towards no code or drag and drop page builders that you see in tools like Wix, right? Squarespace, and most recently announced was the BigCommerce, the folks that were known for having a really rigorous API so that you could code headless. We've talked about it in earlier episodes, right? Mm-hmm. You could code headless e-commerce solutions with your own custom UI on the front end. Well, now they're going towards a drag and drop page builder. And so the idea is that not only can a builder use these tools, which some builders will say, this is great, it makes it faster and everything's wonderful. Others will say, well, that's not the way I'm used to doing it. I have far more control if I code it myself. But the most important dynamic of a drag and drop builder in e-commerce is that once you've gotten most everything set up, when a customer wants to come in and make an adjustment, a drag and drop builder allows them to make an edit. And if you've ever been in that place where you are on the phone, customer calls you and says, I want to change this text. I want to change this other text. I want to change this label. I want to change this paragraph. I want to add this photo. And you had to touch it because it was your code. A page builder makes things a little easier because a customer can do it themselves.
Okay.
Not every customer, mind you, right?
Sure.
We know some customers who are like, I just broke everything. But it makes it much more approachable because drag and drop means what it sounds like. They grab an item like, ooh, I want to add a photo, and they drag it into their screen design and drop it there.
Okay. So it sounds like is that kind of the main exciting feature about this, is that your client can get in and make tweaks if they want?
I think it's two different things, I think,
okay.
Right? So on the one hand, yes, one of the biggest dynamics is that customers can participate, right? Store owners, merchants can participate in updating a site because the tools are becoming far more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bigger dynamic there is the accessibility part as a whole, which is that, and I don't use the term accessibility in terms of the way most people are talking about accessibility. I mean, the approachability is probably the better term, so that I don't confuse people. The approachability of an e-commerce store for people who are not uber technologists. What we've seen, right, over the course of 20, 25 years of internet technology is that, you know, when people were writing, the first web applications that we were building were in a language called Perl. And if you couldn't write Perl, you couldn't do anything online, right? Any kind of interactivity, you'd write in a little CGI app and it was in a different language, right? And so if you couldn't write that, you weren't a programmer, which of course, C programmers and C++ programmers would look at Perl programmers and go, you're not a real programmer because you're not really doing pointers and you're not doing garbage collection, right? And then you'd get to people who started writing HTML, right? And they would say, I'm a programmer. And you're like, you're not a programmer, right? Because all you know is HTML and that's a structured language, but that's not a programming language. And then people would go, oh, I'm learning CSS because I'm a programmer. You're like, CSS, gosh, that's markup on the markup. That's not a language. You're not a programmer. Like every single time we've opened the lanes wider for more people to participate, the established folks have said, oh, you're not a real programmer. I'm a real programmer, right?
Right.
And this drag and drop will do that too. It will cause people who coded, store builders who we talk to all the time, store builders who use their hands and their knowledge to code something, and now someone else comes in and drags and drops it. But along with every time that has changed, we've introduced thousands, tens of thousands more people into the group of people who can help build something,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is awesome because you have people today in the WordPress world and who use WooCommerce as an e-commerce platform, you have them using page builders already. They've been using Beaver Builder or Elementor for a while, and they've been having a success at it, and they've been helping customers come online with it. And you don't look at that and go, that's bad. You look at that and you go, that's great. So the more that we saw recently, BigCommerce make the announcement, but before that, Wix made their own announcement, right? We're going to enhance our e-commerce drag and drop features. And you go, yes, this is fantastic because it brings more people, you know, under the umbrella of we are helping launch e-commerce stores. And that's, I think, one of the most interesting components of it all.
Okay, great. So let's dive into the tech a little bit. How does this actually work from kind of a store building perspective?
So what happens now is that every store builder who's using many of these tools, right? And whether you're talking about BigCommerce or you're talking about Wix, you're talking about WordPress and WooCommerce, the tools now are available to let everyday people drag and drop their designs. What that normally drives right after that is Shopify, right? Will create, you know, Shopify has a very large library of additional resources once you start playing in this whole, I want to design something, right? So you start getting, whether it's additional templates or it's additional features that can be dragged or dropped in place. And so you see that in the WooCommerce world. First, we saw the page builders like Beaver Builder and Elementor and Divi. But then almost immediately, you saw the additional market of resources for those page builders, right? So normally what ends up happening is you need the tooling to allow for the extensive market of third-party players to come in and ride on that tooling to make things even more available. So store builders will likely see and enjoy more benefit as more and more opportunities exist to create those third-party libraries and products. If you're a store builder and you're like, hey, I have built 100 stores in the last year, two, three, and every time I have to custom code this little feature, well, you know, now there's an opportunity to build that feature as a product and make it available on different platforms, right? Mm-hmm. So it becomes an opportunity for store builders. it also allows them to speed up some of what they're doing, right? They'll be able to say, oh, you know what, here's a couple of components I use regularly. And so this will help me build out that store faster.
Okay.
Does this drag and drop, I imagine for it to work as a store builder, you're going to have to hold off on the organic coding. Like you're going to have to really play within the confines of the system, right?
So there are definitely some constraints when using these drag and drop builders, right? And the more evolved they get, the more they open up ways to participate with your code. I have some code and the builder has some code. But initially, in the first passes, part of what it will do is it will constrain you to certain kinds of code. Now, if you're a store builder, you likely think of the world, or at least for me, I think of the coding that's going to happen as three different levels of coding, right?
Okay.
One is the visual depiction of what you want on the page. That's the visual portrayal of your product page. Let's say, you know, your product on the product page. Okay, that's one bit of code. There is another bit of code, which is the work that you're doing behind the scenes that never really gets seen, but is the functional componentry of making the site do what you want it to do. So it might be the automatic messaging after they put something in the cart, the automatic calculation of a coupon discount after they put three items in the cart. Those things are not seen, but they have to get programmed. And those are often separate from the display of the screen. And so the page builder doesn't intrude on this. And then the third bit of code is your integration to third-party systems, right? Whether you want to connect to Stripe or you want to connect to some giveaway plugin or something, you know, some JavaScript that you're going to put in that monitors, you know, keep analytics that monitors what people are doing on the site. That's likely not going to get messed with either, right? So what ends up happening is if you put your code into three buckets as a store builder, the page builder only intrudes or only puts constraints into one third of the code that you're gonna create for that site. It's the one that's most visible, but it's not gonna restrict you from integrating to third party platforms. It's not gonna limit you in terms of how you make what happens in terms of discounting and coupons and shipping and everything else. It's not gonna change that.
Okay, great. So looking at these drag and drop sites, what are some of the hard limitations going to be? What are these not able to do?
Well, they're not going to be able to recreate every fancy interface that a store builder has ever created. So if you're a store builder and you have spent years in e-commerce and your real focus has been on that customized UI. Now, we know there's a lot of people that this is not their area of specialty, right? Like the other day, I looked at probably 15 Magento One stores as we were getting to Magento One's end of life and we're looking at, you know, migrating and all those kind of things. I looked at about 15 Magento One stores. And other than the logo and the text and the products, they were all the same. Like the agency that had built this clearly wasn't in the business of customizing the user experience. They were in the business of getting something up and running quickly. And that has its own value too, right? There's nothing wrong with saying, I took someone who was offline and I put them online. Mm-hmm. But there are other people who, store builders, agencies that when they build the look and feel of an engaging store, you can't tell what product they're using. You can't tell what platform, the underlying platform is. You can't say that's a WooCommerce store, that's a Wix store, that's a Squarespace store, that's a Shopify store, that's a WooCommerce store. You can't tell, right? They have customized every touch point in the experience. Those folks are not going to see the page builder replace them, right? Those folks are going to go, listen, if you want to customize everything, we can do it. But by the way, it's not going to be using a page builder. It's going to be our code, our templates, our this and that. And you go, okay, that's fair. But for all the other people who are like, I'm just trying to get something loaded, I'm trying to get something that looks good, page builders will be significantly beneficial because they make things easy and they make them fast and they make the standard stuff routine. So we think about today's version, I might get to a homepage and have one row that is the header image. And then I might have a row that is thinner, but is the row of logos of where I've appeared or my products have appeared. Then I might have a row that has a video. Then I might have a row that is a rotating testimonial. And you're like, these are not rows that are super complicated. This design is not complicated. And the drag and drop builder can not only do that, but you can rejigger it and move and adjust those rows if the customer says, I'd like this above this or below this. So in that scenario, store builders are gonna see this help them unless they are dedicated to creating custom user experiences, in which case they likely won't embrace every feature of the drag and drop builder. It doesn't mean that they won't leverage it in certain places. They might say, oh, the product page template or the category template is something we can use the page builder on, but the homepage and the cart and the checkout are going to be customized because we want to make sure that we can optimize for conversion or for the experience or for something else. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a cross between the two. And it really depends on what kind of store builder you are, how much this will help you or not.
Right. Okay. So that's an interesting point. So you don't think this will threaten the industry of being a store builder at all, the ease of access here?
I think where the threat will happen is not so much in the fact that these tool sets are available. I think where the threat happens is it makes the notion of a store builder that much easier. So imagine that you're one of the top 20 store builders in New York City. Mm-hmm. Well, you have developed a certain sales pitch and a certain premium pricing and everything else. And now imagine that a whole group of people in the middle of the country in Kansas are like, look what I can do with this page builder tools and a store. And so it's going to be a different competitive threat from a different group of people at a different price point. And that doesn't include going offshore where someone else says, yes, I can do all these things and I can do it for even cheaper.
Right.
But right. If you're in the top 20 in New York City, the kind of clients you have are what's going to differentiate you. Right. And you're like, I did it for this well-known brand, fashion brand. And the guy in the middle of the country may say, I did it for, Mike's Mechanic Shop. So there's still ways to differentiate, but it's not the tool itself that will disrupt. It's the fact that the tool makes it available for more people to step into that space, to be more and more store builders. I think that will create some level of competition that will change some of the dynamics. Not for the top of the market, but definitely for the middle and the bottom of the market.
Okay. Great. Let's turn our attention to the future here. What's the future of e-commerce given these developments?
So I think, I hinted at it. We'll see for the tools like BigCommerce, I think we will see a dramatic third-party tooling, third-party resourcing that will happen for BigCommerce that we haven't seen before. And that will be interesting. I don't want to say open because it's not an open platform, but it will open things up. That would be my guess. I think it will mean that many other platforms, many other e-commerce solutions, if they haven't embraced drag and drop, will do so as well. So we'll see this kind of shift towards more and more dragging and dropping, which I think means the future is wonderful for store builders, right? There are going to be more and more store builders more and more people can become store builders, even if you thought, oh, I'm not sure I know how to do this part. If you were technical and you were a programmer, but you didn't have a design aesthetic and therefore you couldn't make a pretty looking e-commerce site and that was, you were knocking yourself out because of it, these tools are going to change that for you.
Okay. Great. Chris, those are all the questions I had. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Awesome. Take care.
Thanks. All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on the growing popularity of drag and drop e-commerce websites. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.